WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, positively into the summertime, summertime. This guy will be here on Thursday getting you on the back end of the Ravens mini camp this week. They're going to close down the shop at the end of the week here, Dennis Colossus. I know sometimes you like to do that over Coons Baltimore Ford Security Boulevard just for a couple days. They get a nice 6-7 weeks to shut down here after this week, but they're going to make it through, and I know you're watching. You're Purple Bird watching as much as everybody else is watching Gunnar Henderson. Dennis Colossus joins us now from Coons Ford. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 until 5 getting you home. What are you looking for this week? We're going to throw the football in. I want to see that fingertip catch from Odell Beckham that Ravens.com that they have, and Lamar hitting guys in stride and all that.
Right.
It's a PR thing as much as it's anything this week, right?
It really is. You know, having been there and done that, Nestor, in my lifetime, I don't pay too much attention when guys are running around in gym shorts and T-shirts. I tend to pay a lot more attention when the pads come on. That's when you separate the men from the boys, so to speak. We've heard a term before. Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane. And, again, having firsthand experience of not being the most athletic, but you put on the pads, that's when the physicality comes out, and that's when it's live. And let's get to that point, right? But it'll be good to see OBJ in camp and the headlines and whatnot, but look, it is what it is.
I've been doing this 31 years and taking phone calls, and the Orioles have stunk most of the years. So this time of the year in the 90s, it was, well, you know, we'll watch the team and see, you know, what happens. This is a different vibe for baseball and what's going on. It's I don't say unprecedented, but been doing this 31 years. It's pretty unprecedented to have this much hope and youth and like all of that. It's a new franchise for the time being until John shows back up and offers to show his books to me and others. But the football team has had this tumultuous offseason, all of this question, all of the turmoil, all the Lamarathon, all of that. The football team, the franchise from where we measure them this week and the other 31 cities, this is a time for everyone to think they can win the Super Bowl. But they've done a nice job. They're going to get off the bus this week looking like a real football team, and that's whether it's Roquan Smith throwing first pitches out, whether it's Justin Tucker showing up and kicking 70-yard field goals in June because he can do that, or whether it's just Odell Beckham bringing in his ring and shining it up for a – you and I got rings. We got two of them. We've seen it all. Ain't nobody out there other than Harbaugh and DaCosta that can and Justin Tucker that are going to talk about winning a Super Bowl. Odell Beckham brings a little bit of that in, but this is the time for them to get to know each other and get whatever the Orioles have, which is feels like a team chemistry that the Orioles have about them a little bit, that the Ravens have tried to import heart with Roquan Smith, draft heart with Zay Flowers, re-sign heart with Lamar Jackson, and part of the Odell Beckham, the whole scenario with it so bizarre, but it was like, here's a toy for Lamar to get Lamar to sign in. And now it all has to come together. And Todd Monken's got one football to get to these guys.
Yeah, he really does. He's got to install his offense. It seems like they're going to give Lamar Jackson more freedom at the line of scrimmage, which I thought he had all along. I don't know if that's anything new. Maybe he can improvise a little bit more.
How could Lamar have more freedom at the line of scrimmage than he's had? He can do whatever he wants with the football.
Well, he can, but that's when you, if you don't like the play call, do you change it without checking with the coaches, which is all well and good as long as the play well works. If he throws a pick and puts the ball on the ground, different story for a different day.
But that's part of being in the building during the week and saying, Lamar, now we get up here on 4th and 1, we're going to do this unless they do this. And if they do this, you audible. But so all of that, like baseball gets scrimmaged now, literally, right? That's what the install of all of this is, so that when they get under fire in the fourth quarter in Cleveland, they're not guessing as to what they're going to do.
Well, what part of what made Tom Brady so dangerous was Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, two of the all-time greats were, they had the playbook at their fingertips at the line of scrimmage. They could move guys around, they could improvise, they could change plays, etc. And I think your top four or five quarterbacks in the NFL have that type of power and that type of pull. Well, they can change calls and make calls without consequence, and I think that's the key. I was really saddened last year to see when Lamar Jackson made a bad interception, threw a bad interception against the Giants. It seemed like they shut the offense down and made him more to a game manager. Well, when you put the ball up in the air 40, 50 times, it's high risk, high reward. And I think that's what I'm looking to see is I'm having confidence in Lamar Jackson and not Turtle should he happen to put the ball on the ground and turn it over.
Well, you're talking about them throwing the football more. I mean, everybody's going to be talking about that. Everybody's going to be looking for that more. Even though Monken's history isn't that, I think when you see the wide receiver room and you see Mark Andrews and you see that you paid $52 million to Lamar to allegedly not run into linebackers anymore, and I still think there's going to be a healthy dose of that because that's what he knows. And then Dobbins is already cranky, and he was cranky in May. So there is part of all of this that this is why John gets the big bucks, is like managing all those personalities.
I think all running backs are cranky, and they should be, because they get the short end of the stick, particularly while playing under the rookie contract. They've had a ton of carries in college. They get a ton of carries in the pros, and all of a sudden, well, we're just going to draft somebody else to replace you, right? So that's why I don't think it's a J.K. Dobbins situation specifically. You look at Josh Jacobs with the Raiders. Now he wants to carry the torch for all running backs. So I do think it's specific to the position. And right now, if you have a kid in high school who's got NFL potential and he's a linebacker slash running back, you take him down the Roquan Smith trail, not on the offense where you're going to get the help knocked out of him, whether he's running the ball, pass blocking, going out for a pass, et cetera. Those guys are run blocking. Those guys, I mean, they're on the front line. They're crash dummies is what they are. Remember Sam Gash and all the great fullbacks the Ravens have had? I mean, those guys don't age real well. I mean, they get the heck
Ricard
knocked
would be
out
another
of
guy, right?
Yeah, yep, absolutely. So, again, I don't see that it's J.K. I don't think it's anything personal with J.K. Dobbins. I get it. But he's had two knee injuries, one in college and one in the pros, significant injuries. And so for J.K. to chirp that he's not real happy, and it's nothing unusual. But he'll show up just like Patrick Queen and all these guys that are playing for a contract, playing for a roster spot, Ben Cleveland, et cetera. So I do think the Ravens have a great dynamic between your veterans, your Roquan Smith, your Marlon Humphrey, your leaders on the defensive side of the ball. More question marks, though, on the offensive side of the ball for all the reasons you cited.
Well, how much they'll pass, that will be answered in September. But yeah, the install of this, and again, all of these are PR weeks for me. I mean, I know what the Ravens are saying. They throw people like me out to ask tough questions so they can move more camera people in from Ravens.com to show memes and shoot little video snippets of how beautiful the offense is going to look this week. So I'm sure there's going to be a little bit of that. But part of it also is just what are the circumstances and situations with Zay Flowers, with Bateman? I mean, they've got an embarrassment of riches in their wide receiver room that they haven't had a long, long time. We're not talking about James Prochet and Devin Duvernay right now. I mean, those guys, we're not talking about them. If they make their way onto the field, they play themselves forward, because the wide receiver room here is full of number one draft picks.
Oh, five of them to be exact. And let's not forget, they also have a very deep tight end room, not just with Mark Andrews, but Isaiah Likely. Charlie Kohler, he's a dude. You know, the guy didn't play much last year, overcoming that sports hernia. But yeah, they have an embarrassment of riches, as you said. But offenses take more time to develop than defense. Defense is more read and react type, and you get these instinctive players. Second year in Mike McDonald's system, whereas now, as you mentioned, Todd Monk has got to come in, install a new offense, and it's going to take time and timing for this thing to come together. So I don't know what fans expect, but it's not going to be confused. Let's not confuse this offense with Air Coryell, right? We don't have down fouts and all those mercurial wide receivers and tight ends that they had back in the day. I'm expecting the 50-50 pass-run ratio. Hopefully the Ravens will get ahead of other teams by a touchdown or two where they can actually run clock, and they'll be able to do that. That's what I'm excited about. The offensive line should be solid, and they should be able to run clock, bleed clock, take time off the clock, and actually score some points with this new and improved offense.
You say 50-50. That's interesting to me. You know what I mean? Like that would look like 25 runs and 25 passes.
Well, like, yeah, it doesn't have to be. You look, I think there was 55% run pass ratio last year. So it doesn't have to be 60-65% pass. Most of your teams are balanced. They run the ball as well as they can pass it, Nestor. So I do think if they're able to scheme wide receivers open, tight ends open, and I think that may be the difference between Todd Monken and Greg Roman, in that Monken is more advanced in terms of concepts, rub routes, et cetera, flood zones, just to try to get the receivers some separation.
Dennis Colatos is here. He'll be back here on Thursday again from 3 until 5. And if you hear him on Sunday mornings here, he and Luke will be going through the Gunnar Henderson trials, as well as the end of a mini camp that puts a team away and sort of out of sight, out of mind for about 6 weeks. The baseball focus over the weekend, yeah. I mean, you can't talk about bad team, the Royals, but you sweep a bad team. The star is born of Gunnar Henderson at 21 years of age that finally swinging the bat the way that the team envisioned. I'm talking about a 21-year-old guy here. We would say that about Lamar 4 or 5 years ago. We'd say that about Adley Rutschman 4 or 5 years ago when he was still in college doing this. The team's exciting right now, and it's been an exciting slow burn going back to April and into May and winning, and now we're into June. But more than anything, once you put it away on Thursday with Luke and we get you out on Sunday morning, there's nothing football related that's going to happen for 6 weeks. Really nothing is going to happen for about 11 weeks in regard to a real game being played, other than whatever injuries and nags they'll have with those crappy August games that have always been that. But the baseball team gets a full focus and a full summer to ride a wave that they've earned at this point. I mean, there have been points where Grayson Rodriguez fell apart. It's been 2 weeks now on Mullins, and they brought in Hicks. The baseball team has appointed themselves nicely. I mean, we're in the middle of a really interesting year. I've been doing this a long time, celebrating 25th year of NSD. This is as interesting a summer for local sports as we've had here.
It really is, Nestor. And a casual fan like myself, I've been brought back into the fold. I'm going to go to a game this week and take in some more Orioles baseball. I love what Gunnar Henderson said. I think it was something to the effect that I can't wait to get my man strength or something like that, when he crushed that home run to Utah Street, right? So this is a very fun bunch. And it's, again, it's attracting casual fans like myself. And I'm not the only one. I've talked to a lot of people in my circle who are hardcore football fanatics, and they're also starting to take in some Orioles baseball. And to your point, a few weeks ago, if we can get the football crowd at Camden Yards, boy, oh boy, it's going to be loud and festive and a lot of fun, and in support of this team.
I go back to that Pedro Martinez night. That is the night that I remember that the football thing had become mature. The baseball thing had gotten very sour with Angelos, and we really stunk, and everybody knew we stunk, and we were getting outspent, outplayed, out everything. And they opened the season on a Sunday night, and ESPN was in, and Pedro was on, and it was just, it was a football crowd at Camden Yards. I've never, not even the Delmon Young, that's all. The baseball crowd we've seen have been baseball fans. You know, it's very white, it's very old, very family, very grandma. That's been what the baseball crowd has looked like. I'm interested to see whether it's more of that, whether it changes, whether I had friends come in from out of town from Pennsylvania over the weekend, take their boy to a game. It's certainly a much different thing to see this stadium more full, giving away bobbleheads, having start looking up, seeing the teams 20 games over 500. It's exciting for people that have never seen it. You know, I remember 79 and 83 and 96 and 90. I'm old enough to remember all that. There's certainly a lot of people that, as good as it gets as a double in the second round of the playoffs for Delmon Young, you're still hanging your hat on that, and we're 23 years into the century, and that's the best you can do. I hope they can create something better than that, because the Henderson home run was memorable. I mean, they put these little pieces of memorable things together that you'd want to have in a season. But part of that is they're going to have full focus. They're going to win some big games in the next couple of weeks, and they're going to be a playoff bound team. And that's something that, as training camp opens, that's something the city hasn't had in a long time.
It really has, Nestor. It's also great to see a more diverse, more inclusive crowd, dare I say, at Camden Yards. I know that when Ohshay Ohtani came into town, a lot of Asians people went there in support of him, and it was just great to see that type of an atmosphere at the stadium. I certainly enjoyed it.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting back out for winning baseball. What's going on over at the dealership? Give me a little summer status report over Coons Baltimore Ford, Security Boulevard. I see the commercials in the Orioles games. Crystal's coming at us. But if someone calls right now and needs a vehicle, where are they? And especially with trade-ins at this point.
Yeah, they're coming. I was so busy last week, Lester, that when the thing with the Canadian fires happened up there in New York and whatnot, and the air quality was very poor, I didn't get the memo until late that night. And I was completely off the grid.
There was a barbecue on 695.
Oh my gosh, I was completely off the grid. And even the next morning, when I actually smelled the odor in the air, I'm thinking, what's going on? Maybe I should look into this thing. But that's how busy we've been here at Coons Ford Baltimore. The getting three or four trailer loads, transport trailer loads a today. I've got a lot of super duties, the big heavy trucks that that are so critical to our economy. The business owners are out there flying off the shelf, and a lot of trade-ins. We traded 19 retail pieces over the weekend, late model vehicles, frontline ready. So business is very good, 0% for 36 months, the most of our models, Ness, and again, it's phenomenal.
Well, zero for 36 gets everybody's attention, including my wife, who's shopping. Drove the Bronco Sport, but wants a different color, wants a different model, wants a sunroof. So all of those needs will be met. I am around all week. Luke is going to be at the ballpark. Luke is going to be, one of these things, Dennis, with the Chad Steele, Greg Bader issue. Luke is doing double duty this week because they won't let me in. I don't know if it's my hair. I'm trying to investigate.
It's their loss, put it to you that way.
I'm more fun than Luke. Even Luke would tell you that. I'm a little louder, but Luke will be working, doing the businessman special in the afternoon out in Owings Mills for all of the soft toss going on during a mini camp with John Harbaugh, as well as in the evenings with the Blue Jays in town. Hey, AL East games, we talked about this this week as well, Dennis. Because of the schedule of baseball, and we're seeing more of the Brewers, and we're going to see the Cubs this weekend, and we're seeing all the teams – these division games take on even more oomph that when Toronto comes in or Tampa comes in or the Red Sox or the Yankees come in, more important that they win these games. So certainly a big, big week for baseball, big week for football. I know you're monitoring. You made any time for the NBA Finals, or what are you doing?
Absolutely. I've got to keep a little eye on the NBA Finals. Denver has Miami on the ropes, but anything could happen. So I'm watching that with great, great interest. And I'm going to see a game against the Blue Jays. I like competitive games. I don't like to see necessarily the Orioles going up against Patsies. I want to see some good competition out there.
Well, they had the Patsies over the weekend. It broke out the brooms on the lowly Kansas City Royals. We'll see how they do against the Blue Jays. My wife has a bird feeder that she's been feeding the birds since we moved out to the county. And we have cardinals, we have all woodpeckers, all sorts of things, you know, all kinds of creatures. But the Blue Jays, my wife gives the peanuts to the squirrels, and the Blue Jays come in.
You don't like the Blue Jays.
Blue Jays are nasty. I never really understood what they're a little bigger than most other birds.
They are.
And they're not like crows or even like vultures or turkey vultures where they really come in and make a stink. But Blue Jays, and they have this horn about them. They don't sound like a bird. They sound a little bit like a horn. And they're nasty. Blue Jays. So I've never liked the Blue Jays since 89. I want to make that clear. Since Cito Gaston, I've had a Blue Jay problem, but I thought it was a baseball Canadian issue. Turns out they're really angry little birds. So,
Hey, saw a beautiful majestic eagle while fishing Sunday at Loch Raven. I'll send you the picture. It's just I'm talking about a beautiful majestic bird with a big beak. I mean, they're just something to behold.
I did the show at McFall's Oyster and Reel in deep Essex, Middle River. Your side of the place, the McFall's Iron Horse Tavern up near the radio station, like Cromwell Bridge Road. First week of February, my wife and I, someone put a picture up that they saw eagles there.
Oh, yeah.
I told my wife. So we jumped in the car, went over there. We went every day for about a week, and there were nesting juvenile eagles, tons of them, a dozen of them on the tree line where the creek is. As you drive north of Cromwell, where you would make the left to go to the reservoir, you go straight as you're going up Cromwell Bridge Road, like you're going to Harford County or just going north up toward the wine country. And on the left side, eagle, 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 mother eagle, baby eagles, big nest of eagles. So the eagle thing's real. And if you went one day to see them, you would go back the next day.
Sure. Well, fun fact for you before I let you go, an eagle, when they leave the nester, it's the biggest they'll ever be. They get smaller as time goes on. But when they're ready to leave the nest, they are big, strong, and they're game ready right out of the gate.
Well, I am going to next winter go back and see if I can find them nesting, because they were nesting there because they could eat the fish, right?
Oh, the fish
are in
the lake.
It's easy, right?
Plenty of fish for them. Yep, absolutely.
All right, get some eagles out there. Last eagle I saw, I was going up to Hollywood Casino on opening day. On opening day, I took the back road. So I took Harford Road. I went over the Conowingo, instead of going over 40 or going over 95, I just took the back road. And I was coming down whatever the access road is on the other side in Cecil County, where like Perryville and Port Deposit, I came down south. And it's just a little road. It hugs the water. There's nothing on, a couple houses. And I looked up giant, giant eagle. So I think if you hang out up on Conowingo, you're going to run into an eagle, right? Eventually.
Absolutely. Nothing like it.
It was never that easy when I was a kid to see an eagle, right?
It wasn't. But now, well, we're also looking for them these days as we
as you get older.
Mature,
yeah,
you,
my wife sees hawks now on 695 and
yeah,
stuff
you pay
like that.
Attention to this.
The first eagle I ever saw, bald eagle I ever saw, was in Montana. I was in Great Falls, Montana in 1994. And the next eagle I saw was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, 5 years ago. We went on a trip to see Pearl Jam. We went to Yellowstone. I've now seen 20 eagles within 15 minutes of my house. So I remember when they were endangered. So when you see an eagle, I got to send your picture. Let's share it. Is the picture at the Colossos or where is it?
I'm going to post it right away.
Put it on Twitter so we can all enjoy it.
You got it.
Everyone,
appreciate you.
Any eagle you want except the Philadelphia Eagles.
There you go.
I don't agree with those Eagles. All right, Dennis Colossos will be here. We'll beat the Eagles up in season. We don't play them this year, so we got to – and it's probably not a good thing. Although that kid signing up there opened the door for Lamar to sign. So if you're all down with Lamar
– Look, hopefully we play them in the Super Bowl. Nothing wrong with that. All birds,
as long as we don't
all
lose
birds
to them.
Super Bowl.
I was always saying that with the Washington football team. If we ever get into a Super Bowl – and then I realized they're never going to make the Super Bowl.
No,
so
they're not. The Eagles might.
I hear they're under new ownership, the Washington team. Is that true?
90% there. Got to punch it in.
Good luck with that.
Yes,
I still see another lawsuit. Dan's got lawyers and henchmen. He is Dennis Colossos. He is D. Colossos Show at on the Twitter thing as well as at Dennis Colossos. You can find him at the front of Baltimore Positive. You can find him at the front of the showroom at Security Boulevard, just a block west of the Beltway if you're at the Security Boulevard. And, of course, he'll be here Thursday, 3 until 5, and again on Sunday morning from 8 until about noon. He ran a little long this weekend. That's fine with the great guest he'll have this week as well. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.